Love came down. Love came down. And in the last few weeks, we've noticed that a lot of things came down when Jesus came down. Amen? You know, the peace and hope and joy, you know, salvation for sure. But all of these things came down when he came down. Amen. If you look at Nelson's dictionary for Bible dictionary for love, it says the high esteem that God has for us and that we should have for him and others. We find the greatest love story that's been ever written within the pages of the Bible. What a love story this is, you know? That being God's unconditional love for us that he sent his son. And we know that scripture, 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish. He loved, for God loved the world. How do you love the world at that point in time where the world was at with sin and yuckiness and all of that? We'll find that out too. Also in 1 John 4:9-10, it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son for the appropriation of our sins. God's love came down to you. Love from God is only one of his attributes, but it's also a very part of his nature. God is, when you think of God, we think of love, don't we? Now, some of our people in society, they're that of not of faith, those outside the kingdom of God. Sometimes they look at God as thinking that God is a mean God. He's an avenging God, and he can do these things. And just, you know, why is all this terrible stuff happening if there's a God, you know? Well, that goes into another series of messages that you'd have to go into to cover why that's here and now in this earth. But the God that we know, the God that is our God, is a God of love. He loves us. He cares for us. He sent Jesus for us. Deuteronomy 7:7-8 says this, the Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because you were more in number. This is back in the Old Testament. He's talking to the Jewish people, you know. He's saying, for you were the least of all these people, but because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the oath that God gave back to Abraham and all of these people prior to the moving of the children of Israel into the promised land, the promises that was given, God is not only a God of love, God is a God of kept promises. Love came down. Promises came down. Promises are still being fulfilled today, aren't they? Love is still being fulfilled today. But because the Lord loves you, continuing on, Deuteronomy 7:7-8, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. That mighty hand of God back then with the children of Israel is that same hand today willing to be there to take people out of bondage. People outside the church, they're in bondage. We could have some people inside the church still dealing with bondage. And we've got to try to get that message across to them that God reached down and he took the children of Israel out of bondage. God reached down and he wants to take you out of bondage as well. Let him do that. The Bible declares in 1 John 4:8-16. 1 John 4:8 says this, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We've talked about this a few weeks back, I think, about if you see love in somebody, you're going to see God. But it's hard for somebody to say, well, I've got God in me, but yet they don't love. It's kind of like an oxymoron type thing. If God's in you, love's got to be in you. There is no two ways about it. No way to split it this way or that way. Well, I've got love in me if this happens. I got love in me if that takes place or whatever. No, because we're going to find out a little bit more about this love. And 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed that the love of God that has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It is so imperative that we abide in love. Because when we abide in love, he's abiding in us. Sunday school, we had a little bit of a DVD there with Max Lucado. It's talking about, just think, Mary had the fetus. She had the birth of the baby of Jesus in her and then gave birth. And in a way, we are like her today, because if you've got Jesus in you, you can birth that by love. That you can be birthed by that of the joy. You know, whatever is in you should come out, right? And we kind of know that. Because show me somebody, or let me introduce you to somebody that's got vile anger and meanness in them. Generally, that will come out, right? It's normal. It just comes out. It just comes spewing out of the heart. The mouth speaks. But if we, as kingdom kids, as kingdom children, as kingdom of God people, have God in us, you know, we have love in us, that should be coming out of us. People around us should be seeing that on a day in and day out basis. We find that in Jeremiah 31:3, we'll read at the end of the service, but love such as this, it's everlasting. Everything that God has given us does not have an expiration date on it. Isn't that great? You know, it's not like when you come into the fold of the kingdom, he says, okay, Tim, okay, you're going to have peace for exactly 22.5 years, and after that it expired, and you're not going to have it anymore after that. No, I will have peace until I'm called home. Well, I might have tribulations and problems and trials and stresses and things of that nature, but I have peace. And it's going to take me to desire to pull on that peace when that time comes, because he's given it to me. And just like anything else, that if I give you something, it has no value, it has no warrant in your life until you use it. So, as he has freely given us these things, love being one of them, if we don't use it, it isn't his fault, it is your fault. You've missed the point. Hosea will speak of this, that it is this free. Love is free. It is free. It came down to us freely. Freely given. You didn't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. Now, there are some people, and maybe in some denominational circles, that might want to think you've got to do these things and penance and all these things to get all these things and say, okay, now you've arrived. But it's not that. Once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've arrived. And he's arrived in you. Newness has come upon you. I think of that song. I don't know what it all goes to now, but it's like dawning. It's like it's a secular song. But anyway, it's come upon you. When newness of Christ in you, things happen. Good things happen. So Jeremiah will speak that it's an everlasting love. Hosea speaks that it's free. Again, John 3:16, it's sacrificial. John 13:1 says this, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The love that comes from God the Father will endure to the end." Another thing to hang your hat on. Another thing to be happy about, to be encouraged about. That love that God has endures to the end. Amen. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at this from God as all of these attributes, all these things that God puts upon us or gives us or puts in us is there with no expiration. It's going to be there enduring forever. It speaks of that. It'll go to the end. Now, speaking of love, you know, you got to get the understanding, because what kind of love am I talking about? Well, in the Greek, there's two meanings for love that we find in the scriptures. One is phileo, and one is agape or agapo, but agape love. And there's two totally different types of those loves. The first one, phileo, which we mostly all know these, and I'm speaking to the choir here, so you're saying, yeah, tell me something new. I'm not going to tell you nothing new. I'm just going to remind you Because you need to be reminded, amen? Tell me, I need to be reminded. We do need to be reminded of the good things of God because we get muddled into so much stuff. But here it is. Phileo, which means to have enthusiastic or passionate affection and feeling. It's an impulsive love, you know. It's just all of a sudden, it's like, boom, oh, I love that. I love this. I love you. I love this time. It's an impulsive love. But when we get to the agape love, it has the meaning that speaks of high esteem or high regard. Remember Peter, and Peter was raked over a few times, wasn't he? About, do you love me? Jesus said, do you love me? Yes. Do you really love me? Yes. What are you getting at? Trying to drive a point home that we've got to drive home today and every day in our Christian life, that we've got to have that agape love. We've got to have that love that hold things into high esteem, that we have things with high regard. So when we think of Christian love, it should come under the agape love. It's not that impulsive, quick on, quick off love that the world has. This is a love that transcends all of that. This is a love that endures. This is a love that continues on. This is a love that does not end. So God's love toward us is from Him is known as agape, and ours to Him is the same. You know, we need to love Him. You know, I've said this before. There's no way, and we're not to be able to pay our salvation, but it just seems so limited to say, thank you, Father, for all that you've given me. It's just like, it doesn't seem like there's enough in that, but that's what He's wanting to hear. Thank you, Father, for all that you've bestowed upon me. Oh, Father God, I love you. I love you, Lord. And it's a thing like, can you love Him even going through the difficult times? Can you love Him going through that hard time? And that hard time might be longer than a day, might be longer than an hour. It could be a season of time. It could be months. It could be years. I don't know. But are you able to have that agape love to say, Lord, all things are falling apart here. Whatever it might be, health, finances, job, families. But I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. So God's love toward us is the form of agape. Ours to Him should be as well to other brothers and sisters of faith, but also to those outside the church. We need to walk in that love, don't we? We need to show that out there because people are missing that. The world shows tremendous love of impulsiveness. You know, commercial comes on, ooh, I love to have that, you know. Ooh, I gotta have that. I just love to buy that. I just love this. I just love, oh, look at her. I love her. Oh, I look at her. I love him. You know, it's the infatuation. It's the quickness. It's the impulsiveness. That's the world's love. But my love in agape is high esteem with high regard. Not what I can get out of the situation, but just that I can say I love you. I love you. I was listening on that track of music, and there is, I don't remember which gospel group it was, but they had this gentleman sharing just a quick little inset in this music saying, it's hard for a tenor, because you know a tenor has a high voice. Hello, everybody, you know, tenor. He says, when I tell my wife I love her, she goes, I go like this, honey, I really love you. And he goes, and she laughs just like that, just like that. Because it's hard for a tenor in his high voice to make it sound so, ooh, you know, like, honey, you mean so much to me. I love you. And she laughs. He goes, just one time, I'd like to have this come out and she could hear this from me.
Hello, honey. I love you.
He had a guy with a deep bass
come out and say, I love you, baby.
See, it has a different, it's like,
hey.
I'll just think about that. Okay, you'll think about that. Okay. So, anyway. But the love that I have from Christ, the love that I have to give out, needs to be that love.
Love.
You know? Not what I can get for saying it. Not what I'm trying to scheme to connive my way for something. But it's just to say, love. I esteem you. I just honor you. We need to do that back to our Father God. Amen. So, what form of love do you exhibit to those around you? Think about that. Within the Bible, we find human love, love for Christ, love of Christ, all these things. It's like joy, you know, you find so many things spoken in the Word of God about joy. Love as well. Today, I want to just quickly look, focusing on the love of God, because God came down in Jesus. The love that He had for you. We've already looked at 1 John 4:8 and 16, where it talks about that, you know, He shares that about love, God's love for us. How about God's love for the Son Jesus? It's expressed in Matthew 3:17. It talks about this at His baptism when He comes out of the water, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Well pleased with Him. Wouldn't you like to hear your Father in heaven say that about you? I am well pleased with you. You please me. Ties into like, well done, good and faithful servant, kind of. Jesus acknowledges the Father's love. John 5:20 says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel." In John 10:17 it says, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." So we're finding that the Father's love, and Jesus is expressing that, "My Father loves me." God loves the sinful world and expresses His love toward us. Again, you know, you can't... John 3:16 just pops up all the time, doesn't it? Year-round. Doesn't matter what you're talking about, but when you start thinking about gifts and giving and sacrificial and just without anything coming as far as costing you anything, John 3:16 is always there. But, you know, we find out that He loves us in spite of our sin. And that's where we've all had sin. Amen. We've all had sin, and God loved you even in that sin. In Romans 5:8, it says this, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, how many here would be willing to do that for somebody that's all, you know, you're willing to give your life, you're willing to give something of value to someone that even though they're not believing in you, they don't follow you, but yet you love them and you're there for a purpose to draw them back to the Father, you're willing to give them. You find that so encouraging that God demonstrated His love toward us that while we were still sinners, estranged from Him, far removed from Him, didn't even probably think about Him, but God was thinking about you. In Titus it says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish." Titus 3:3-4. We were once foolish. Anybody here been foolish? Yeah. Disobedient? Mm-hmm. Deceived? Yes. Serving various lusts and pleasures? Yes, 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 yes. Living in malice and envy? Probably me too. Hateful and hating one another? Oh yeah. I think I've covered something out there that you should be able to hang your hat on. B.C., before Christ, huh? Titus, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But," here's a good but "when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, things changed." When Jesus, born in a babe, as a babe in the manger, came, wrapped in swaddling clothes, came as somebody that was just like, looked like you and me, you know? He was talking in Sunday school about back then they didn't have ultrasounds and all like they have today where you could put that little thing on the belly and, oh, there's a baby in there. There's the arms, the head, and all of these things. Now they got these ultrasound things that do 3D imaging where you see the whole baby right there. Mary didn't have that luxury back then. Oh, but she knew she was pregnant. She knew that she had something in her. She knew that she was carrying a baby. She knew who it was because an angel had talked to her that Julie had shared, you know. The angel was sharing all that was taking place through Zacharias for John and through Joseph and Mary. But the kindness and the love of God our Savior came. While we were still foolish, disobedient, being deceived, serving lust and pleasures of this world, living in envies and malices, hurting and hateful to one another, we were a rowdy bunch. You know? But love came down. Love made a difference. There was a change in the atmosphere. I was out at the restaurant here a few weeks back, and then this gentleman, I run across his path there a couple of times now, and I know him through another church, and I told him one time he was in there, and we were joking around, and I said, well, I said, when you come in here, I said, you change the atmosphere. he thought he's like, okay, the next time I'm coming in, I'm going to have one of those little deodorizers on my nose, you know, like a little pine tree or something. I'm going to change the smell, you know. I said, you change the atmosphere when you come in here. Do you change the atmosphere where you go? I hope I do. I'm not saying that I do every time. I'm sure the same with you. Not every place, every time you go, that you change the atmosphere. But I hope we're kind of mindful of it and saying, you know, I think that would please my God. Why do you want to please your God? Because I love him. Impulsive love? No, I love him. I esteem him. I respect him. I just want to love him because he loved me. Looking now at our relationships to his love quickly, we are directed to 2 Thessalonians 3:5, where it says this, 2 Thessalonians 3:5, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Direct your hearts into the love of... Your heart had to be renewed. You had to have a heart transplant, guys, for all this of stuff of God to work in you. Amen? He couldn't leave your heart the way it was. Because he talks about your heart is old and stony and hard. And anything hard and stony, you don't work things into. You got to take a chisel and break through it. And God did that. Through that of the birth, away in the manger, Jesus came. And love came down. We need to keep ourselves in it. In Jude 20:21, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You've got to, it's an effort, isn't it? It doesn't just happen. It's just like, it's not like, you know, okay, I'm just gonna think I'm just gonna be in love all the time. No, it takes work. It takes work. It takes work. God will give you that ability to do that, but you keep yourselves in the love of God, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying by that of the Holy Spirit. That's why I think we have some challenges in our Christian communities of today is people aren't fully filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't fully want the understanding, desire, understand, whatever it might be of the Holy Spirit. They've been told a lie when they say, oh, that was for back in those days. The Holy Spirit is not for leading and guiding and speaking to you today because it's something that we don't understand. So if we don't understand it, we throw it out. Then we can't make heads or tails out of it. I don't even want to go there. Well, there's a lot of things I can't make heads or tails out of God's Word, but I will never throw out God's Word. I will hold on to it, even though I don't understand it, but I'm going to stand on it because I love Him and he's not going to sell me a bill of goods. He's not like the world. His love for me wasn't impulsive and a desire to contrive something in me to manipulate me. God's not manipulating us. He's given us that free will. He's not twisting our arm to do these things for him. We freely do these things for him because we love him, because he loved us. As we close here in Romans 8, 35, 39, I like this. Nothing can separate me from his love. It goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We go through a lot of stuff as a Christian. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more. We are more than conquerors through him. Why? Because him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or even the things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you guys, that's a strong and powerful love. That's a strong and powerful bond that God has for us in that love. If you get a hold of it, don't let it go. If you get a hold of it, if it's in you, keep working it. Keep, you know, building up those love muscles, whatever it is, you know, that faith muscle, love muscles, joy muscles, whatever it is in you, just keep working those things up so that you've got that ability to stand, you've got that ability to share it, you've just got that ability that God wants you to have. Again, Jeremiah, I referred to this a little bit earlier in the beginning, says this, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with kindness or with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Back in the Old Testament, the Lord appears, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. We are drawn to that. You know, we are drawn to those types of loves, but here again, the one thing with that of God's love is it's everlasting. It's not impulsive. It's not what I can get from you. It's everlasting, and it's just agape love. So the love that came to us centuries ago is still that love that is here at work today. This love has no expiration date. The cost of this love has been paid for up front for all of us. It's out there for you to give to others. You have received this love freely. Now go out and share it freely. Amen? Amen. Share that love. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So do you think you've got love in you? Is it the Lord's love? Amen. If not, come up here. I want to beat it in you. No, in love, I'll do it, okay? L-O-V-E. But I really want you to keep that focus, that love that came down for us. I will want to close out here. We got a song.